Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 67 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
To have three alerts since the beginning of our semester here in August is certainly unusual. And we're working with Richmond Police and our EKU Police Department to talk about an increased presence and patrols in the area.
EKU spokeswoman Christy Middleton says reported gunshots near the Richmond campus today prompted a security alert that has been implemented a lot recently.
Another shooting in Moorhead has left a man dead by police.
And Maysville is on the cusp of having newly updated wireless internet downtown.
In sports, Major League Baseball's National League Division Series wraps up tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The all-clear has been given at Eastern Kentucky University after a report of gunshots near campus this afternoon. Christy Middleton is EKU's Chief External Affairs Officer.
We secured the campus with a shelter-in-place message earlier this afternoon when we received information from Richmond Police that there were reports of shots fired, not on campus, but in the vicinity of campus. So as a precaution for the safety of our students, we did ask our students and employees to shelter in place and not move from building to building. It was determined that there was no confirmed shooting, no threat to the campus, and the all-clear was issued at about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Middleton says alerts of this kind are unusually frequent this semester. Today marks the third alert to be issued at the university since August.
The investigation continues after a Kentucky State Police trooper was involved in the fatal shooting of a suspect yesterday in Moorhead. KSP spokesman Joe Veneman says the incident happened after troopers attempted to arrest 22-year-old Matthew Brewer at a residence on Old Hilda Road.
During a process with the troopers trying to serve the warrants on Mr. Brewer, he fled from the troopers inside a residence. Troopers gave chase in the residence as well, and during the chase within the residence, inside the residence, Brewer turned and pointed a gun at the direction of the troopers, who then returned fire.
The KSP went to arrest Brewer after two people claimed that Brewer had threatened them. Authorities then discovered he was wanted on several charges, including marijuana possession, leaving the scene of an accident, having an open alcohol container in a vehicle, and falsely reporting an incident. Veneman says the unidentified trooper who shot Brewer has been placed on administrative leave.
The city of Maysville is overhauling internet infrastructure in the area. With more, here's MSPR's Sean Delaney.
Installation of Wi-Fi to the city of Maysville's central business district is nearly complete. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the city has invested nearly $2,500 into the project with the hopes of attracting millennials to the downtown area. Services will run from Wall Street to Limestone Street and McDonald Parkway to 3rd Street. Users will be able to access the hotspots through the name Maysville Wireless. Initiatives to add high-speed broadband internet to the area are also in the works. That project is part of the state's Kentucky Wired program, which aims to deliver robust, reliable, and affordable internet to communities across the Commonwealth through broadband technology. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Ashland's Economic Development Director has unveiled three proposals to encourage additional investments in the city. Chris Pullum says the first involves offering grants to organizations for holding events downtown or along the riverfront.
With the event incentive, the grant program, we hope to encourage more people to bring their events into downtown Ashland or the riverfront, which then turns into gains for our downtown business community. So we think that's a pretty good tool to help out those businesses.
Pullum is also suggesting that Ashland waive its building permit fees up to $10,000 for rehabilitation projects for buildings constructed prior to 1960. Finally, he's recommending payroll tax breaks for up to 9 years for technology, biotechnology, aerospace, and clinical research companies to locate within a newly created tech zone known as the Wind District.
Ashland City Commissioners have tabled a measure that would have paid the Kentucky League of Cities $13,000 for assistance in the selection of a new city manager. Commissioner Amanda Clark says this is not the right time to involve the KLC in choosing the city's next chief executive. She thinks it puts internal candidates at a disadvantage.
I would like to see the process go exactly the way that we did the police chief, open it up to our internal candidates and see what we get. We may have the new city manager sitting here, I don't know. I don't know who would be involved in that, but see see what we got, and then if we didn't find what we thought was best, to go outside, exactly the way that we did with the police chief.
Clark believes it's also improper for the current commission to decide a procedural matter just a couple of weeks before Ashland voters choose a new city commission. The vote to table the ordinance on KLC assistance was 3-1, with Kevin Gunderson dissenting. Ashland has been without a permanent city manager since February, when Benjamin Bitter resigned.
Ashland commissioners today approved the first reading of an ordinance to revive the city's rules on solicitation. Commissioner Marty Goot says the changes are in the way some people or organizations will be allowed to approach potential donors.
And kind of tweak it to where they couldn't impede traffic, they couldn't be aggressive, they couldn't be in spots that would be harmful to them and being hit by a car. This covers people like the Little League and veterans groups that solicit. We're all for them.
Goot says he receives a lot of complaints from citizens who think some of the solicitations are too imposing or impair safety on the streets.
One of two failed intake pumps at the Ashland Water Plant has been repaired. The Ashland Board of City Commissioners declared an emergency last week to expedite a deal with a Huntington-based service pump and supply to repair a second failed pump. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, City Planning and Community Development Director Mike Miller says the company fabricated an intake manifold to connect to a rental pump and barge if all three pumps ever failed. The city paid the supply company $56,000 to repair the pumps and nearly $2,500 to fabricate the connection header.
Crews from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet have completed a long-running project in Elliott County. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the effort involved redoing a portion of Kentucky 7.
That's about a $36 million job, including right-of-way and construction on that. 5 miles from about Kentucky 706, north of the prison there, to the Carter County line at Grayson Lake. It's a new road, completely new road, bypasses some pretty curvy areas as well as a mountain that had caused some traffic issues over the years.
Blair says the work took 3 years to complete. He says the project has made that section of Kentucky 7 much safer for motorists and should also help speed up their travel through that part of Elliott County.
Local road repairs were the primary topic of discussion at Wednesday's Bracken County Fiscal Court meeting. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, Bracken Judge Executive Earl Bush told the magistrates that major repairs to roads damaged during a Columbia Gas Pipeline replacement project are being monitored and the work on them is almost finished. In areas where Columbia's contractors did some repaving, the county will have to complete the remaining sections of about half a mile each of Belmont Road and Sparks Road. Magistrates approved up to $65,000 to be used from the road fund for the project. Bush also says the cleanup of debris at the Walcott-covered bridge has also been finished. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
The Center for Rural Development in Somerset is beginning Roadside Pride Month in eastern and southern Kentucky. Program Director Angela Traver says Pride is all about getting outside and contributing to the community.
We encourage individuals in the 42-county service area of Eastern Kentucky Pride to go out and to clean their area, you know, anything from their schools to their churches, maybe pick a section of road, and we're more than happy to help out with providing garbage bags and gloves and vests for the folks that want to go out and pick up. It's a great time to get out and clean up our environment.
Pride stands for Personal Responsibility in a Desirable Environment. Roadside Pride Month lasts until the end of this month.
The U.S. Forest Service has wrapped up some work on a mountain bike trail system near Lakiji Rock in Rowan County. John Kazmierski is the Cumberland District Ranger for the Daniel Boone National Forest.
The Forest Service just worked with a group, American Conservation Experience, to complete Loop 4 and put some finishing touches on Loop 3. So there are now four really amazing loops to mountain bike on out there on Limestone Ridge. It's really great riding.
Kazmierski says the improvements on the mountain bike trails are part of an effort by the Forest Service to help make Eastern Kentucky an adventure tourism destination and increase the number of visitors to that part of the Daniel Boone.
A Pike County hunter claims a poacher fired a shot from the road that came very close to where he was perched. Aaron Mullins was bow hunting in a tree stand in the Johns Creek area last weekend when a truck kept driving back and forth. Mullins told WSAZ he spotted a buck and a doe and knew the two people in the truck were going to shoot toward him. Mullen says he pulled out his cell phone and recorded the incident.
They waited till the deer got, that's about 15, 20 yards to my left. And they just shot right at them, shot right towards me. Don't know how they didn't see me. I mean, I'm blaze orange vest, blaze orange hat. Guess didn't care. I don't know.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife hopes somebody recognizes the truck and the cell phone video. Conservation Officer Robbie Spears says if you're caught poaching, you could face thousands of dollars in fines, jail time, and lose your hunting rights for 3 years.
It's National Fire Prevention Week, and Kentuckians are being encouraged to take precautions to protect themselves from the dangers of home fires. The State Fire Commission is urging everyone to check their smoke detectors. Executive Director Ronnie Day says that's something they've been stressing in schools.
We're educating the adults as well now. Smoke detectors save lives. We all know that. It's proven every day. 99% of the fires that we have where we have a fatality is in a residential fire, and about three-fourths of those we'll find that the smoke detectors weren't working for whatever reason.
Day says smoke detectors should be replaced 10 years after the manufacture date on the back. Last year, 70 Kentuckians lost their lives in home fires. 50 people have died so far this year.
Lawrence County, Ohio's Community Harvest Food Drive, will be held later this month at the Kroger in Proctorville. It's scheduled for October 28th through the 30th. The food collected will be distributed to those in need around the county with the help of neighboring food pantries. Holly Maynard is the co-manager of the Proctorville Kroger.
We have a lot of people in our community that go hungry, and with the economy being so low here recently, we have a lot of people that are not only on assisted living, but people that rely on these food banks to be able to feed their families. So it's going to help them feed their families on their limited income that they get.
People wishing to donate to the food drive should bring their items to the Proctorville Kroger or to the Ohio University Southern Ironton campus.
An Ashland foundation is trying to raise $11,000 to paint a mural on the city's flood wall, honoring the former Booker T. Washington School. Dan Mahan is a history professor at the Ashland Community and Technical College. He's helping spearhead the effort.
The school was built in 1903, so almost for 60 years, and it served as the only option for Ashland's African-American citizens. It started with grades 1 through 8 in 1903. It had a four-year high school by 1931. A lot of people don't know that it was the only high school option for any African-American child in a five-county area up until 1962.
The building was destroyed in a fire, and a plaque at its former site is all that remains. Mahan says people can support the effort by writing a check to the BTWS mural, Post Office Box 2367, Ashland, Kentucky 41105, or by visiting the Booker T. Washington Mural Facebook page and checking out the other support options.
The Southern Ohio Museum and Culture Center is hosting its annual fundraiser this weekend. The Galactic Gala takes place at 825 Gallia Street in Portsmouth on Saturday. The event includes a buffet dinner, an open bar, a silent auction featuring a baseball signed by the 1937 Portsmouth Redbirds team, virtual reality games, and local art. Charlotte Gordon is the museum's artistic director.
There are easier ways for nonprofits to raise money than throwing these huge events that take months and months of coordination. However, for an art museum, we look at ourselves as a very important component of community building. And it's a night for us to bring together our museum community as well as the community as a whole.
Gordon says funds raised will go to cultural and educational programs. Tickets are $75 per person or $150 per couple. They can be purchased at the museum or over the phone at 740-354-5629. Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy with patchy fog near dawn, lows in the mid-40s. On Friday, mostly sunny with patchy fog early, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy, with a 20% chance of showers late, lows in the lower 50s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, highs in the mid-70s. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, partly cloudy with lows 55 to 60 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 68 degrees, Flemingsburg 66, Inez 61, Lexington 64, Winchester 65, and here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, It's 67 degrees.
The time is 4:45, and we're glad you're here. It's Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor Rick Carrick. He has come up with a new bumper sticker for the presidential campaign.
Less than 1 month now before the presidential election on November 8th. GOP candidate Donald Trump and I both had a bad weekend. Trump had it tough because the Washington Post published video of Trump boasting about kissing women and grabbing their genitals without their consent. That's sexual assault in most states, and the creepy violence of Trump's bragging was enhanced by the fact that he was showing off to impress Billy Bush, a minor celebrity and host of Access Hollywood. By the time the video finished playing on the networks, cable news, Twitter, and Facebook, Trump's campaign was reeling, and Republican leaders were denouncing his comments, urging him to withdraw, and repudiating their endorsements. Probably the cruelest blow was GOP House Speaker Paul Ryan disinviting Trump from a scheduled gathering in Wisconsin and running mate Mike Pence refusing to stand in. It was also bad news for me. I've predicted that Hillary would win by 6 on the basis of minority and millennial votes, and that prediction looked pretty good last week when Hillary was up by 5. I'm with her and have donated to the Hillary campaign, but I also have an ego, and I like my predictions to be accurate every once in a while. Unfortunately for me, the release of the sexual assault tape means Hillary could win by 10% or more, and that I would be wrong yet again. In fact, Paul Ryan told GOP donors just last night that Hillary's ahead by 10. My problems got worse with the debate on Sunday night. Trump actually did a lot of what his fans wanted. He pressed Hillary hard on Juanita Broderick's accusation that she was raped by Bill Clinton, built up an argument that Hillary Clinton had deleted 33,000 emails as part of a cover-up, and got out his talking points on Syria, Obamacare, and immigration. But Trump ruined any kind of positive effect by directly threatening to put Hillary in jail, then stalking around the stage trying to intimidate her. That was a big problem for me because the atmosphere of intimidation triggered a PTSD reaction. Having brain surgery as an infant and growing up in an abusive family left me with a case of post-traumatic stress disorder in which seeing certain situations of violence, bullying, or intimidation bring on feelings of overwhelming pain and anxiety. During the 1990s, there were many times when I struggled to walk from my office to my car a couple hundred yards away without passing out. My reaction to Trump's debate performance wasn't that major, but I felt traumatized and have been struggling to get past that feeling of being traumatized for 3 days since the debate. I'll be okay, and there are larger issues in this campaign than my emotional well-being. Trump's a threat to realign the United States with authoritarian countries like Russia, start trade wars with Mexico and China, kill global confidence in the American economy, and set race and gender relations back 50 years. Still, I have an idea for a bumper sticker that addresses my personal situation. Quote, Donald Trump, bad for Rick Carrick, bad for America.
Dr. Rick Carrick is a professor at Morehead State University. The time is 4:49. Sports is up next in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead, located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park. The Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The final game of the Los Angeles-Washington National League Division Series is tonight in the nation's capital. AP correspondent Craig Heist reports.
20-game winner Max Scherzer will get the start for the Nationals in Game 5 of the NLDS against the Dodgers as the scene shifts back to Nats Park in Washington. Scherzer is facing left-hander Rich Hill, who will be pitching on 3 days' rest. Hill took the loss in Game 2, allowing 4 runs and 6 hits over 4 1/3, including a Jose Lobaton 3-run homer. Scherzer gave up 4 runs over 6 innings in a Game 1 loss to Clayton Kershaw. This is the Nationals' 3rd postseason appearance in 5 years, and they failed to make it past the LDS in 2012 and 2014. Greg Heist, Washington.
With a 1-2 record in the PFL and their hopes of competing for a conference title flickering, the Morehead State football team is getting set to entertain Marist on Saturday at 1 p.m. for homecoming. Still feeling the sting of last week's 51-27 loss to Dayton, Coach Rob Tenier says this is a gut check game for his Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, a good term. I think that we got our back against the wall a little bit here, you know, and we're playing a team that's 2-0 in the conference, and you know, we lost to both teams that were picked ahead of us in the preseason that we play this year, which is disappointing. And so we've got a little bit to prove, and I hope that we play with a little chip on our shoulder.
After back-to-back victories over Campbell and Butler, Marist is 2-0 in the PFL, just a half game behind first place San Diego. MSU is 2-1 lifetime against the Red Foxes. Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino is looking for a bounce-back performance from his team as the 7th-ranked Cardinals host Duke tomorrow evening. Petrino says despite U of L's recent loss to Clemson, the 4-1 Cards remain determined to make a bid for this season's national championship.
We still believe in our heart that our goals are sitting out there for us and we have a chance to go get it. But to do that, we have to line up and win this game this week and really focus on doing that. Otherwise, it means nothing. So we understand we have zero room for error.
Duke is 3-3 this season and coming off of a 13-6 victory over Army. The Round County football team's first major challenge in trying to knock off unbeaten Johnson Central tomorrow night will be trying to slow down the Golden Eagles' powerful offense. Central is scoring 44 points a game and rushing for an average of over 360 yards an outing. Round coach Gene Peterson says the Vikings' defense will have a lot of people near the line of scrimmage.
We're definitely going to crowd the box, you know, like every other team has done, you know, and that's what you have to be able to do is crowd the box. And you know, we can't be standing up and watching and trying to find the running backs and where they are. I mean, we have to stay low. We have to control our gaps.
Round is 1-7 after beating Boyd County last week. Tomorrow evening's game starts at 7:30 in Morehead. An AFC West matchup pits the Chargers hosting the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. AP correspondent Philip Gaughan reports.
Week 6 of the NFL season kicks off with an AFC West matchup as the 1-4 San Diego Chargers host the 4-1 Denver Broncos. The Chargers come into the game having lost their last 10 games against the AFC West. Phillip Rivers enters Thursday's game tied for 4th in the NFL with 1,469 passing yards and needs just 124 to become the Chargers' all-time passing leader. Rookie defensive end Joey Bosa makes his home debut looking to build off his pro debut last week in Oakland where he had 3 tackles for loss and 2 quarterback sacks. Philip Gaughan, San Diego.
The Morehead State soccer team hosts Jacksonville State tonight at 7 in its final home game of the season. Coach Warren Lipka expects the Eagles OVC contest with the Gamecocks to be a battle.
They're in the same boat as us. They're fighting to get into the conference tournament. You know, the last games, everybody's fighting to get their points. So they're going to come in here. They're well coached. They're going to be tough. They're physical. And we got to match their work effort.
While MSU is 4-9-2 overall and 1-4-1 in the OVC, Jacksonville State is 2-4 in league action with a total record of 5-9-1. Round County soccer teams will both face Bath County in their respective 61st District Tournament Championship game tonight in Owingsville. While the girls' game kicks off at 6, the boys will face off at 8. Round boys coach Max Hammonds believes his Vikings are just starting to set sail on a big postseason run.
Definitely. I think this could be the best team that we've had since I've been here. And if they execute properly and play together, I mean, I think we're going to go far.
While the Round boys are 15-6-1 this fall, the Lady Vikings are 11-6-1. And finally, in sports, a fuller roster will help his team improve this season. That's the belief of Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd. Going into games last season, sometimes with only 10 or 11 players, the Eagles finished with a 10-20 record. Since then, MSU has added 6 players to its roster, and Todd says that will give him more options with the Eagles' up-tempo style.
We feel like this year's team will be deeper with more guards, more post, just a fuller roster. We feel like defensively we will be able to play more like the style of offense we played last year. Feel like we will be able to rest some people in situations where fatigue can set in.
The MSU women host Transylvania in a November the 3rd preseason affair at Johnson Arena. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer has a home match tonight at 7 p.m. with Jacksonville State, and Eagle football will host Marist on Saturday at 1 p.m. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks fell but closed well off of session lows as investors digested weak data out of China and rising oil prices while assessing the possibility of a Federal Reserve rate hike. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 45.26 at 18,098.94. The S&P 500 was down 6.63 at 2132.55, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 25.69 at 5213.33. New York Stock Exchange breadth was about 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. China exports tumbled 10% last month in dollar terms, while imports fell almost 2%. Asian equity markets closed mixed overnight, with mainland China's Shanghai Composite ending flat and Hong Kong's Hang Seng falling about 1.6%. And European stocks followed Hong Kong lower, with the Pan-European Stock 600 Index dropping almost 1%. U.S. stock futures fell sharply before the opening, and the Dow was down more than 100 points earlier in the day. And, of course, as the day wore on, things gradually got better. And, of course, a lot of the improvement during the day had to do with oil strengthening, as crude oil settled almost 0.5% higher at $50.44 a barrel, as a drawdown in gasoline inventories offset a build in oil stockpiles. Investors also kept an eye on quarterly profits, and before the opening this morning, Delta Airlines reported mixed quarterly results, missing estimates on the top line, however beating on the bottom line, and the airline group as a whole today was strong. Also, tomorrow, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo will be reporting earnings. And, of course, Wells Fargo announced Wednesday afternoon that John Stumpf would leave his post of CEO immediately following Wells Fargo's cross-selling scandal. And gold futures for December delivery rose $4.80, finishing at $1,258.70 an ounce. And the much-watched 10-year U.S. Treasury bond finished with a lower yield today, finishing around 1.71%. And that's down from a recent high of about 1.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 10 cents at 114.14, CSX up 94 cents at 31.15, AEP up 55 cents at 62.55, Marathon Petroleum down 12 cents at 41.54, AK Steel down 22 cents at 4.55, and Community Trust Bank was down 77 cents to finish at 36.62. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy with patchy fog near dawn, lows in the mid-40s. On Friday, mostly sunny with patchy fog early, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers late, lows in the lower 50s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, highs in the mid-70s. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows 55 to 60 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 68 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 66 degrees. Inez, 61 degrees. Lexington, 64. Winchester, 65. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 67 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Kenzie Thompson, and Brian Courtney, with our feature commentary, MSU professor Rick Carrick. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindeberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.